At least two-thirds of our miseries spring from human stupidity, human malice, and those great motivators and justifiers of malice and stupidity, idealism, dogmatism, and proselytizing zeal on behalf of religious or political idols. And that quote comes from Aldous Huxley. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Well, folks, several times in the last few weeks, I have said to people that they need to buckle their seatbelts because we are going to be in for a hell of a ride in 2012. I've said to people very often that I believe this is the year of the tipping point. This is the year that the architects of the New World Order intend to escalate their plans as much as possible. And it is the year that we, the people, will need to choose which direction we wish to take. And folks, this has certainly been proven correct even in the first 2 months of this year. Here we are in March, and we have seen an incredible ramping up of the globalist agenda, an incredible ramping up of the removal of the rights of the people. We've seen a massive increase in warmongering from the American and Israeli governments, and things have just been virtually snowballing, most especially here in Australia. Now, I've said to people before that Australia is actually one of the testing grounds that the New World Order uses to bring in the most repressive legislation that they have ever attempted in the Western world, just to see if they can get away with it. And they do seem to get away with it here in Australia due to the apathetic nature of the people. The Australian people are very heavily fluoridated, of course, and this causes them not to really think very clearly. Quite unbeknownst to themselves, they really don't realize how far they have been reduced in their awareness, and that's one of the ways fluoride works. You kind of dumb someone down without them ever realizing that there's anything wrong with them, and this allows you to control their lives in virtually any way you like. But it isn't just the fluoride, it's also the alpha waves from the television, it's the huge electromagnetic bombardment that people are subject to, and not to forget that we also have Pine Gap here in Australia, and God knows what they're doing there, folks. It's actually one of the most secret bases on Earth. But suffice to say that unbeknownst to the people of the world, and most certainly to the people of Australia, Australia itself is in fact one of the most controlled countries in the world. And this is achieved by a number of means. And the Australian people don't seem to realize it, and most of the people who even operate within the truth movement don't realize it as well. They see all of this military sort of stuff coming in places like America, such as the introduction of the TSA and all these sorts of things, and even all of the people in the truth movement in Australia are looking at what's happening in America, and they're going, oh, wow, this is terrible. At least we're lucky this isn't happening here. But they're not looking around them at what actually is happening here, because there are a great many methods that are being employed to control and lock down the Australian people. And we've seen this taken to almost an extreme degree here in Australia, most especially in the last few months. Now, bear in mind that Australia was the country that was disarmed before any other country. Australia is actually the first country to be disarmed since World War II. And what I'm talking about there is how Hitler actually disarmed the German people during the World War II period. And that should perhaps be a little bit of a sign for the Australian people, you would think, but no, they didn't seem to notice, folks. They just seemed to never think, well, maybe I recall Hitler doing this to Nazi Germany before he turned it into a police state. But no, they didn't really think anything of it, and they thought it was probably all for the best, and so they just let the government take their weapons. This was, of course, done by John Howard the year after he signed off on the contracts, which would enable practices such as coal seam gas mining to be carried out in the country. He virtually signed away the country for mining, and then he figured, well, the people aren't going to like this, and so they staged the Port Arthur massacre and used it to disarm the entire Australian population. And there really should be no doubt in anybody's mind that the Port Arthur massacre was absolutely staged. There is no way that the person named as the killer in this case could possibly have killed all the people that were killed with the degree of accuracy and skill with which these people were killed. They were all shot very rapidly, all killed with neck and head shots, and this was done apparently, according to the government version, by a man with an IQ of an 11-year-old who had no experience in weaponry and who actually used two different weapons, both of which behave very differently to carry out the killings. And the accuracy was uncanny, folks. It was shown in the Port Arthur massacre. And actually, if you look at the time it would take an Olympic shooter to get through a target range, you'll find that not even the best Olympic shooter could have carried out the attack with the speed it was carried out and the degree of accuracy that it was carried out. There's actually one case, I believe, of an SAS officer saying that two of his best men could not have carried out this attack to the degree of accuracy that was shown on the day. And so this event was used to disarm the Australian people, and since then we've seen a rapid increase in totalitarian legislation that's been introduced by successive governments, and this has never been more extreme than that which we have seen enacted in the last 12 months, and especially in the last two, which of course is the 2 months that we have so far seen in 2012. And I'd just like to run through some of the more repressive bills that we've seen introduced by the Gillard regime and her subordinate cohorts in the last couple of months. Now, something that has been incredibly disturbing is a mental health bill which is being implemented in Western Australia. It's still only in the process of suggestion, but it's looking very, very bad, and it's looking like it probably will come in. And we know how these people work, folks. If it doesn't come in straight away, they'll simply change the wording a little bit and they'll likely bring it in disguised as something else a little bit later. Now, this proposed mental health bill in Western Australia actually seeks to give 12-year-old children the right to consent to psychosurgery, electroconvulsive therapy, and sterilisation. And this bill really should be sent out to everybody in Australia so that people can look at what's going on here. And I really don't know what kind of psychopath would have dreamed this up, but this is a bill designed specifically to attack children. The proposal for child sterilisation is absolutely outrageous. I mean, for 12-year-olds to be allowed to consent to this type of thing, It boggles the mind. I mean, a 12-year-old's mind is not mature enough to really understand the significance of what they're signing themselves up for. And of course, it's being done through the consent of the child. Apparently, if a psychiatrist deems a child to be mature enough to be able to make a decision, then they are able to consent. But of course, folks, if you get a child and you put them in a room and you tell them that terrible things are going to happen if they don't consent to what you want to do with them, many of them are, of course, likely to be bullied into submission. I mean, you could tell these kids, well, you know, if you don't do this, you're never going to see your parents again. If you don't do this, your parents are going to suffer. All sorts of things. You can put anything into the mind of a child, and the child will often comply with you simply out of the fear of what may happen if they don't. Now, just to outline this bill a little bit for you, it says that children of any age are able to consent to sterilisation if a psychiatrist decides that a child under 18 years of age has sufficient maturity, he or she will be able to consent to sterilisation. Parental consent will not be needed, and only after the sterilisation procedure has been performed does it have to be reported, and then only to the chief psychiatrist. It also says that 12-year-olds will be able to consent to psychosurgery. Now, psychosurgery is banned in New South Wales and the Northern Territory because it irreversibly damages the brain by surgery or by burning or inserting electrodes into the brain. But this draft bill proposes to allow a 12-year-old child, if considered to be sufficiently mature by a psychiatrist, to be able to consent to psychosurgery. And once the child is consented, it goes before the Mental Health Tribunal for approval, and parental consent is also not needed for the Mental Health Tribunal to approve the psychosurgery. It says that 12-year-olds will be able to consent to electroshock therapy. Electroshock therapy is hundreds of volts of electricity to the head, and any child aged 12 or over whom the psychiatrist deems to be mature enough will be able to consent to electroshock therapy. And once the consent is given, there is again no requirement for anyone, including parents or the mental health tribunal, to approve the electroshock therapy. Now, folks, you've got to ask how sane these children would be if they are going to consent to electroshock therapy, and how sane is a psychiatrist if he is going to allow electroshock therapy to be used on children. I mean, electroshock therapy should be banned worldwide, folks. Children can also consent to be restrained in a psychiatric institution. Oh, yes, please, lock me up in the psychiatric ward. And they are able to consent to the use of mechanical restraints, such as manacles, belts and straps, etc., and, of course, to bodily force. And, folks, chemical restraint, the use of psychiatric drugs to subdue and control the person, is not covered in the draft bill, so therefore there are no legal safeguards to prevent the application of such things. And death can, of course, result from all forms of restraint. The bill also caters for the involuntary commitment of children. In other words, a psychiatrist is able to involuntarily detain any child for up to 14 days if they are simply suspected of mental illness. And folks, this could be anybody who speaks out against their teacher, anybody who speaks out against the government, anybody who thinks outside of the box may possibly be deemed as having a mental illness and be able to be involuntarily detained by a psychiatrist. Parents will not be able to discharge their child during these periods and take them home, and the psychiatrist can then make a continuation order to continue the detainment for up to 3 months, and thereafter, for each subsequent three-month period, they can simply make a new continuation order. Now, during this detainment, the bill states that a child could be drugged, restrained, secluded, even given electroshock therapy if over 12 years old, and can be put in a ward with adults. Again, parental consent is not required to continue the detainment or for any of the treatment, including the child being placed on a legal order to continue to receive drugs at home. So let's do this, folks. This sounds like a great bill. Let's get a 12-year-old child. Let's give them electroshock therapy and drug them, and then put them into a ward with adults. With this bill, it seems that the government is intent on legislating to make pedophilia part of everyday life in any mental institution. And this can be carried out, folks, by anybody who is considered to be an authorized mental health practitioner. And this could be anybody. I mean, exactly who is an authorized mental health practitioner is not defined by the bill. And it could be anybody that the government says, or that the chief psychiatrist says, has the power to detain someone simply because he considers they're qualified, and they publish the decision in the local gazette, and that's it. Case closed. When in reality, only a judge or magistrate actually has the power to order that anybody be detained, and it's very questionable that these people should even have that ability, folks, because many of the judges or magistrates that we see in Australia today are utterly corrupt, and that can be seen just by the state of the legal system in this country and by the amount of people that are in jail for so-called crimes, which really can not even be perceived as crimes at all. And folks, the people responsible for this bill are the Western Australian Mental Health Commission. They wrote the draft of the Mental Health Bill, and the Mental Health Commissioner and clinical psychologist is a man named Mr. Eddie Bartnick, and that is who is overseeing the process. I suggest that everybody who listens to this show contact these people and let them know what you think about this attack that is being instigated against our children. Because that's what it is, folks. It is an attack against the children of this country, and they are legislating that they are able to do so without parental consent. And even within the parameters of this mental health bill, folks, if you decide that this is not what you want for your child and you go on the attack against these people, they may even possibly be able to deem you as being incompetent and unfit and take you in there and give you electroshock treatment or possibly indefinite detention just for speaking out against the abuses that are being inflicted upon your child. And you really need to consider the ramifications of this, folks. I mean, here we have a government that is legislating their right to kidnap your child, to subject it to electroshock treatment and to sterilize it, and there's nothing you can do about it. And if you do attempt to do something about it, then you can very likely be subject to the very same abuse that your child is suffering. This is a bill that would have made Nazi Germany grin from ear to ear, folks. It is a bill that any psychotic dictator and despot would be absolutely proud of, and it just shows the level of tyranny that is being implemented against the people in Australia by the tyrannical Gillard regime and her subordinates in positions of state power. And of course, it would appear that Australia is actually leading the world in totalitarianism, but yes, folks, Western Australia is absolutely the spearhead. It is on the forefront of human rights abuses in the Western world today. The Premier of the Western Australian government, a Mr. Colin Barnett, is a disgusting piece of work, folks, and based on his track record, I believe the man deserves to be incarcerated for the rest of his life because he is obviously a psychotic lunatic with absolutely no regard for the people of his constituency. But it certainly isn't localised simply to Western Australia, folks, because there was actually a similar bill that was introduced in South Australia in 2010, and there are other suggestions that are recommended to be brought in across the board in Australia, which, if they are brought in, will also have very, very serious ramifications for the future. And what I'm talking about here is a 400-page report that was created at the request of the Gillard regime by a man called Mr. Ray Finkelstein, who is a left-wing former federal court judge. And at the request of the Gillard regime, he's issued this report which calls for a Big Brother super regulator to regulate political speech and, among other things, impose new laws with the power to stop climate change realists from speaking out. Yes, folks, he actually calls for a Big Brother super regulator to censor not just the newspapers and television, but also to censor websites, personal blogs, and even what people post on Twitter. It's a proposal that would seem to be right at home in a place like North Korea, or perhaps even China, or Burma, or perhaps the old Soviet bloc that we used to see. Perhaps they intend to send people who don't pull their blogs down off to a gulag somewhere. After all, that seems to be quite reasonable given the parameters by which they are using for all of the other legislation they're bringing in. And it seems to be very, very apparent from certain paragraphs within the report that silencing climate realists is a major reason for the recommendation of the new regulations that this bill suggests. And the size and scope of it is really breathtaking, folks. The report recommends the power to impose a code of ethics to force you to print views that you don't agree with as part of a right of reply. It wants the right to take you to court and even make you take pieces down, even personal blogs that only get 40 hits a day. And to make matters worse, the super regulator would not have to give reasons for its decisions, and the decisions would not be subject to appeal. So it's basically someone coming along and saying, well, I say you need to do this. If you don't do it, you're going to be fined and we will take your site down and possibly even jail you if you fail to comply with what I tell you to do. Now, bear in mind, folks, that we have a piece of legislation in this country called the Australian Criminal Code, 1995 Commonwealth. And it says in the slavery clause of the Australian Criminal Code, which is section 268, that no individual may be compelled by any other individual to perform any task or action against their will. And any attempt at anybody to do so is classed as slavery and carries severe penalties. And yet here we have a recommendation by a QC for the construction of a body that can demand that people perform actions against their will, and that these demands will not be subject to any type of negotiation or any type of appeal. So it appeared that Ray Finkelstein is actually recommending that the Australian government and whichever regulatory body it decides to create should have the power to operate in breach of Australia's own anti-slavery legislation. Very interesting double standards we see from these people, folks. But, of course, that's what we expect from the type of psychopaths that are actually running this country. And there should be no doubt, folks, that these people are indeed psychopaths. And I say that, folks, because it is really the only logical conclusion I am able to arrive at after a rational and objective observation of these people's actions. Because their actions just speak for themselves, folks. And I frankly don't know how any normal person with any regard for humanity or human life or common decency at all could make the decisions that are made on a daily basis by the members of the Australian government. There certainly seems to be no rational or humanitarian basis for any of their decisions at any rate. I mean, think about it, folks. Could you enact legislation that would do this? Could you enact legislation that would allow the electroshock therapy of 12-year-old children, that would allow 12-year-old children to consent to sterilization? Could you, as an intelligent person, if elected leader of a country, pass legislation making it illegal for anybody to think any different than you? Which is what the government is doing. That's what censorship is all about. They believe they know what's good for you, and they don't want to talk to anybody who may suggest otherwise. And in fact, not only do they not want to talk to them, they wish to incarcerate them for thinking otherwise. Because, hey, I'm the government, so I must be right. And if you think that I'm wrong, you're insane. So we're going to put you in jail, and we're going to give you electroshock therapy. We're going to pull down your website, and we're not ever going to allow you to say anything that we disagree with. That's what this sort of legislation would be, folks, and that's what this report by Ray Finkelstein is suggesting. And one really noticeable part about it is, imagine the fear that these people are in. I mean, obviously there's so many people waking up to how corrupt this government is and how corrupt this entire system and this monetary system, this political system, the whole planet, the whole system globally. People are waking up to how utterly corrupt it is and how rotten to the core it is and how much damage it's done not only to the earth but also to human spirit. And the politicians are in absolute horror at the amount of people that are waking up, and they are in absolute fear that more and more people are waking up, the worse and worse they make it. Because every new piece of legislation they bring in causes more people to wake up. Only now there are more and more of us talking about it, more and more people are hearing it. And I imagine that some of the talk the government is hearing is actually quite rational and quite coherent. Not everybody's screaming out about UFOs and white hats and aliens coming to save us. There are a lot of people out there that are actually talking about the problem and talking about the only solution that is available to the problem, which is the empowerment and the action of the human race. We have to step up to the plate, and we have to take peaceful action to change the direction the ship of state is sailing in. And the only way we can achieve that is with a united community. And so the powers that be have set up the internet. So now they've monitored everybody. They know where all the dissenters are, and now they're bringing in legislation making it impossible for people to speak out against what the government's doing, because most people are only doing it online. So now is the time, folks, that you've got to start having community meetings. You've got to start having meetings at the town hall the way they used to do in the old days. And if the council tells you you've got to hire the use of the hall, say, well, look, it's a public hall. We're the public. You're our council. We got you to create the hall so we could use it, so let us use the hall. If you don't like us using the hall, well, we're going to use the hall anyway. And if you can't, then go and meet in a park somewhere. Go and meet down the beach. Go and meet anywhere you can. But start having town meetings, folks. and start burning DVDs and giving them out to people. Start giving copies of radio shows that work out to people. Start getting the information to them. Start showing them copies of these bills and these bits of legislation that have been brought in. I mean, you could go to the Crow House, you could take any of those links and you could print up whatever article has been written about whatever topic. And if it's a bill, then you can also go and find the bill and you can download that and you can print that up. So you've got one copy of it there for people to look at. But you can print up copies of all the articles that you're seeing on the website and you can have a whole bunch of copies there to give one to every person that comes to the meeting. And just gradually get the information out to people on the grassroots, because very soon we're going to see a huge clampdown of what's happening online. That's what they're attempting to do this year. They've already done it with YouTube. They've introduced a new corporate model of YouTube, which is designed to virtually kill all freedom of expression and to curtail any social interaction that happens on YouTube, or at least make it much more difficult. And this is also going to very much change the energetic state of people on YouTube, because a lot of people have worked very hard to build their channels up and to turn it into an expression of themselves. And YouTube is suddenly across the board taken all that away from people and given everybody the very same grey, bland looking channel. I mean, you can change your background still, but all the content is just all this grey, bland, lack of content. That's what it is. It's a very, very horrible corporate model. And they do this with everything, folks, and we're going to see this more and more, and we're going to see a huge clamping down of information on the internet this year. So you've got to start getting it out to people in your neighborhood. Start getting out there and doing the hard slog. At least when you go to the beach or you go to school or you go to a picnic or wherever you happen to go, have a few copies of DVDs in your glove box of your car or wherever you're going. If you're going somewhere, have a few flyers you can take to the local store and just put on the counter and just find a shop that'll let you do it. You'll find that many shopkeepers are awake to what's going on. They won't mind you putting a small pile of flyers on the counter for their customers to pick up. And there are lots of things that you can do, but it's important that we really get started and start doing some of these things this year. But I think it's about break time, folks, so I'll have to leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break, and I'll talk to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, during the show today, I've been talking to you about much of the legislation that's been brought in Australia and the suggestions for new legislation that's been brought in. Something else that we're also seeing in this country is a move to ensure that everybody is on the electoral roll and to reduce benefits and pensions of people who are not on the electoral roll. Another thing we're seeing is a move to wipe out all natural medicines. We've actually seen the pharmaceutical groups starting movement to remove any type of alternate therapy degrees from universities. So, for example, should you wish to be a chiropractor, you will no longer be able to go to university to get a degree in your profession. And the same goes for any forms of natural medicines. They are trying to get rid of all of these. Of course, they do this by labeling them alternate medicines. But the interesting thing about that is how back in the old days, we used to use all of these natural medicines, and we never had cancer, and we never had many of the afflictions that we now see in our society. And then along came the pharmaceutical industry, and it created this alternative method of treating diseases. And through control of the media, it then taught people that this alternative method was actually the real method, the scientific method, and that anything that wasn't the scientific method was alternative. So they kind of turned things on their heads a little bit. And of course, back in the old days, 100 years ago, we saw probably 1 in 100 people get cancer. Whereas now, since we've been subject to the scientific method and modern medicines, we now have 1 in 3 people who die of cancer. So it's very interesting the way they've done this. So what we see is that they are actually attempting to severely curtail the use of any natural medicines. And this, of course, will eventually lead to an outlawing of any natural medicines. And this, of course, goes hand in hand with Monsanto's vision and the rapid spread of genetically modified food that we're seeing around the planet, which is causing an extreme danger to our environment. And as if the food wasn't bad enough, the problem is that it isn't just the food that is being subject to genetic modification, folks. It's all sorts of plants and all sorts of animals are being subject to genetic modification. We're seeing the government insist that all Australian children are fully vaccinated. If the children are not vaccinated, then the parents will lose $2,000 or $3,000 in tax benefits every year. So you see, they're just rolling it out and rolling it out like a steamroller, folks. It's just all systems go. Of course, they're fracking the entire country as well. And the Australian Federal Police have admitted that they are spying on any anti-coal seam gas groups. And they are attempting to bring in new legislation, which will simply lead to a mandatory arrest should you choose to turn up and protest a coal seam gas mine. And so it's just happening across the board, folks. And of course, all of this legislation is being enforced by the Australian Police Force, which are simply a group of private corporations that the people don't have any real contract with at all. What they are actually operating in is corporate law, which is not anything that any of us are actually subject to. But the problem is that nobody really realizes this, and the only way to stand in the power that you inherently have is if the people around you do realize it. Because if you attempt to stand up to the system on your own, sometimes it can be extremely difficult. Because the whole game's rigged, folks. I mean, you start at the beginning. These police officers, they're working for a corporation that's basically employed by the Crown, so the Crown is the one bringing the charge against you, and then you are arrested and brutalized by agents of the Crown, the police force, and then they take you to a court that is run by the Crown, and if you're found guilty in that court, then they put you into a privatized corporate jail. So it becomes very difficult to stand up against these people and to find any justice within the legal system at all. And the only way we're going to find it is, as I keep saying, through the power of community. And that's why it's so important to build the communal spirit around you and to let people know what's going on. Show them these bills, show them this legislation, show them what's happening, and help them to realize and understand the need for us to have these solid connections with our community. We need to have this community spirit because we need this massive numbers if we are ever to make any type of difference or bring about any real change in what is now essentially a corporate world. It's not even rational to think of the world in countries anymore, folks. You can't think of Australia as being a separate country to Germany or Germany being a separate country to the United States. All of these countries are corporations. The Corporation of England, the Corporation of Germany, the Corporation of France, the Corporation of Australia. They are all corporations and they all operate within the umbrella of what is fast becoming one consolidated global corporation. And this is the reason they've been going out and invading so many countries in the last few years, because they need to assimilate these countries into their corporate model, because that's the only way the world will work for them. You see, the world is not a group of countries, folks. The world is a business. And everything that I've said should be fairly obvious to anybody if they simply open their eyes and look around them, because it's all right there in front of your eyes. Now, folks, as we continue down the road to global tyranny that we are heading towards, I still believe that one of the most important things that has been gifted to us is coal seam gas mining, because I believe that this is what will unite the community. Everybody on the earth needs water. Every living soul on the earth needs water, and that is what is being threatened by coal seam gas mining. These governments are actually willing to destroy the water table in our countries in order to make a quick buck. Destroy the water in order for economic gain, which of course is completely absurd. And the laws that they are enacting to protect this coal seam gas mining, folks, really must be seen as void. They really must be seen as legislation that is entitled to no obedience and essentially no law. Because We are the custodians of this planet. Each generation are the custodians of the planet, and we don't elect our public servants in government to destroy our planet beneath our feet. And we certainly don't employ them to write little rules on pieces of paper that they believe will prevent us from standing up to save this world that we live on. You see, that's one of the biggest problems of all, folks, is coal seam gas mining. And coal seam gas mining is happening because of our corrupt governments. That's the big threat that we face. It isn't things like anthropogenic climate change. Anthropogenic climate change is a myth. There is climate change happening on every planet in this solar system, and I'm sure it's not from our burning fossil fuels. And look, I don't agree with burning fossil fuels. I don't agree with the oil industry at all. But I certainly do not agree with the imposition of a carbon tax, because I'm carbon. I'm a carbon-based being, the same as you. We are all carbon-based life forms. I mean, the government's talking about reducing the world to carbon zero. Well, folks, if they do that, there won't be any life left on the world, because all the life on this world is carbon-based. That might be a little bit of a sign for people, but they don't seem to see that one either. But again, I do believe that coal seam gas mining is something that can be used to unite the community, and we all have to stand up against it. We really, really do. It doesn't matter about any legislation that's been enacted to prevent us from doing so, because such legislation is not law, because it is not just. It does not serve the human race at all. It's simply corporate regulations that have been put in place to support corporations. And these regulations are being enforced by corporations, because that's all the police forces are. When I spoke to a police officer in Western Australia recently and asked her if she was a public servant, she said, "No, I'm not. I'm a member of the Western Australian Police Department." And when I then said, well, that would indicate that the Western Australian Police Department is not then a department of government, but must be a private company that contracts the government, is this true? She walked away from me. So I would assume that it is true simply by her refusal to answer. And so that's what we're dealing with, folks. It's all corporate law, and we are not subject to corporate law unless we choose to contract with it. And so it does come down to corporate law, but all that aside, what it really comes down to is common decency and common sense, because we cannot allow our water table to be destroyed by those people we employ to ensure we have a viable future. I mean, it's pretty damn obvious that they're just not ensuring of that at all, folks. In fact, they are doing just the opposite, and they are stealing our future by selling our countries off to mining companies and destroying our water table in the process. And just realizing this, folks, can cause a huge shift in consciousness. Just seeing what is happening right in front of your face. And look, now we've been gifted with the evidence that's come out about the Schapelle Corby case. So here we have laid bare for all to see the collusion and complicity and interaction that happens between the government and the Australian Federal Police and the media. How much it lies and constructs whatever reality it wants and influences the public perception. So we can see with this case how corrupt the government actually is and how controlled the media actually is. So couple that with coal seam gas mining, folks, and you can see what they're doing to us, and you can see the type of corrupt individuals that they are. And the only other question you need to then ask yourself is, why on earth are the people letting this government do this? And why on earth are the police letting this government do it? I mean, even if the Australian Federal Police are as corrupt as they certainly appear to be, why are the local police allowing the Federal Police to do what they do? What, because someone wrote some rules in a book somewhere and they've suddenly believed that they have to toe the corporate line rather than be a custodian of the future, rather than ensure that their children have a home and a world to live in? I mean, what the hell is wrong with these people? But the thing is, folks, what I'm trying to say here is that we have all the evidence we need. We have the criminality of the government laid bare with the Schapelle Corby case. We have the complete disregard this government has for the people laid bare with coal seam gas mining. We have the collusion of the police, which currently seem to be acting more as private security guards for mining companies than actual protectors of society. And we have the people, the millions upon millions of people who employ the government, who employ the police. And so the question is, what are we going to do about it? And I believe what we need to do about it is, as I said before, start having public meetings, start getting information out to people, and start knowing who and what you are. Start understanding that you don't have to comply with corporate legislation. If there's no injured party, then there has been no law broken. This is why most of the people that are in jail are in there for the wrong reasons. Most of them are political prisoners. Most of them have simply broken some corporate regulation, which was not really a crime. You'll find that most of the people in jail, in most cases, there is no victim. There is no injured party for anything these people have done. So therefore, no crime has actually been committed. These people just broke some corporate guideline. And so they were locked up in a privatized jail and used as a commodity to profit by. And this is the same in most Western countries. But folks, what I've attempted to show you today is that the Australian government is quite literally out of control. The Australian police force are quite literally out of control. And it isn't just in Australia. In America now, you've got the FBI saying that any people who believe they are sovereign and believe that they have rights should be seen as a threat against the government. It just never stops, folks, and that's what's happening here as well. So the question is, what are people going to do about it? And I've been attempting to do something about it for a very long time now, and I hope that the listeners of this show are also attempting to do something about it. But it has to be grassroots action by the people. Don't stand idly by and wait to ascend or wait for aliens to come and save you. Don't wait for some person who claims to be God on earth to make some move that's going to save you. You have to do it for yourself. You have to stand in the power that you inherently have. Stand by your neighbours, stand by your family, and stand up to be counted and make changes ourselves. We don't have to comply with any legislation which allows fracking in our country. We don't have to comply with any legislation which takes our freedoms away. We don't have to comply with any legislation that presumes the right to kidnap our children, take them into a psychiatric ward, drug them, strap them to a table and put them in a room with adults. I mean, this sort of stuff is just blatantly sick, folks, and that's the direction our governments are going in. They are completely out of control. And you've got to understand here, folks, that I'm not accusing them of anything. I'm simply looking at their own legislation, bills that they're passing themselves, and the power they are presuming to be able to exercise and hold over the people. I mean, it's all right there in black and white, folks. They write it all down and they present it to us and they say, well, this is what we're going to do. And we all just go, oh, yes, sir. Okay, no problem. That's fine. You do that because you're the government and you know best. Well, I would suggest that they don't know best, folks. I would suggest that they're a bunch of psychopathic lunatics who are going to incredible degrees this year to remove what little rights we have left. And they're going to continue to do it until the people actually realize that we don't have to go along with any of this stuff and stand up to make positive changes ourselves. I mean, something that really blows me out in the whole thing is the police. I mean, what is the mentality of these people? Are these people so blatantly stupid and so brain dead and so incredibly thick that they would go along with this type of stuff? I mean, don't they realize what they are doing to their children? Don't they realize the future that they are creating? What's wrong with these people? They must have double-digit IQs. It's absolutely outrageous. And just by their willingness to comply with this type of legislation, it becomes very, very obvious that police are most certainly not employed for their intelligence. Otherwise, they would have stopped all of this in its tracks as soon as it was presented to them. I mean, if some superior comes along and gives you an order or creates a rule which completely removes people's rights, you have a duty of care to the population to turn around and arrest that leader. I mean, how dare they hand you legislation which is going to remove your own rights, as well as the rights of your children and the rights of the people of the nation that you're sworn to protect? How dare the politicians do this, and yet the police never question it. They just say, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, how high would you like me to jump? It's completely outrageous, folks, and this is what has happened to our society, and it's just going further and further down the tube the more we stand idly by and do nothing. And like I said, folks, it's happening everywhere. It isn't just in Australia. There was a recent article that appeared in the Daily Mail in the United Kingdom that says that children at risk of descending into a life of crime and aggression can and should be identified at age 2. This is according to a government discipline expert who claims that those children are likely to go off the rails and should be sent to specialists' behavioural institutions at age 5 to stop their bad behaviour escalating. Now, folks, this is people who think outside of the box. They claim that any child can go off the rails a little bit, and what we need is a system that is responsive to them and helps get them back on the straight and narrow. Again, folks, this is just designed to prevent people from thinking outside of the box. You see, many modern children behave the way they do because they look at the world and they're actually quite aware, a lot of modern kids, and they look at the world around them and they go, this is all messed up. The world is not supposed to be this way. Why can't I be myself? Why must I be trained to walk between the lines? And so they rebel. And it's no wonder that they do, and good on them for doing so, because we don't need to be trained to walk between the lines. What we need to do is to be able to express ourselves to the fullest of our potential. This is how society improves. This is how entrepreneurs are created. Many people who are claimed to be ADHD are actually kids that would have developed into entrepreneurs. These are people who can change reality because they have the motivation to do so. But if you're a motivated child and you think outside of the box, now you are being classed as having a behavioral disorder and you are either drugged or, as this article suggests, incarcerated into a special behavioral management school in order to mold your behavior so that you only walk between the lines and you only think inside of the box. It's absolutely disgusting, folks. And this is what's happening across the board. And this is only occurring because we, the people, are allowing it to happen by our own inaction. And folks, this is our kids we're talking about. This is children. 2-year-old children are being now accused of being problem children. I mean, how can you say that a 2-year-old child is going to end up as a danger to society simply because it thinks independently? I mean, it just shows the mentality of these government-controlled morons, folks, and what they want to do to the children. And it's going to keep going unless we do something about it, folks. So, again, what do you intend to do about it? Because it's up to the people, folks. It's always been up to the people, but the people have just never stepped up to the plate. Well, now is the year that we are going to have to do so. And it's important that people realize this, and it's important that people do step up and start creating some type of positive difference within their own community. Because that's what it all comes down to, folks. It all comes down to an empowered community, because that is the only weapon that we have. Now, folks, something else I want to touch on here at the end of the show is the link that I have on the Crow House for people to go and sign the petition to help free Schapelle Corby. Now, what you have to understand about this petition, folks, is that it isn't merely a petition. It's been formatted and put out there as a petition because that's just the easiest type of program to use. But what it actually is a group of signatures that will accompany a report that is being sent to the UN that is demanding that action be taken against the Australian government in an international criminal court. So by signing this petition, you are adding weight to this form. You are putting your name out there as one of the people who wishes to take the Australian government to court for breaches of human rights and to hold them accountable for what's happened to Schapelle Corby. It's not just a petition, folks. So I urge everybody to get to the Crow House, click on the link that says sign the petition to free Schapelle Corby and add your name to the list, folks. This can be a really history-making event. It really can, because if we can bring the Australian government to accountability, I really do believe we can create a shockwave which will go around the world, and it will create a blueprint and a template that other countries can use to be able to hold their governments to accountability as well. But I firmly believe, folks, that if we can wake up Australia, we can wake up the world. And that's what is so important about the case of Schapelle Corby. That's why I put so much effort into it. That's why I'm doing a mass DVD burn this week and a mass DVD print this week. I'm gathering a group of people, and we are going to hit the streets with a huge amount of DVDs. We're going to drop them into every shop in the town that I live in. This is something that I've wanted to do for a few weeks, and I haven't had the ability to be able to do it until this week. So this weekend, I am dedicating most of the weekend to burning and printing DVDs, and we're going to get them out to as many people as we can. And you can do this in your area, but even if you can't burn DVDs, you can participate in this action by going and signing this petition and adding your name to the list of people that wish to see the Australian government held to accountability for its actions in the Schapelle Corby case. Because if we can generate enough public noise, then we can not only bring Schapelle home, but we can ensure that this type of travesty of justice never happens again. And so this is a very, very important movement, folks, and it's a very, very important issue, and I really hope that people support this cause, because though it may seem like just a small event to people, it may seem like it's insignificant, just one woman that's in jail, it is anything but a small event, folks, because it can create a movement which will snowball and lead to government accountability. And it may just change the direction the ship of state is sailing in, and this will change the direction that the world is currently heading. This one case, folks, we have the ability to do this with this one case. Combine this movement with what we're seeing with the fracking that's going on all around the world, and we suddenly have the whole thing there in a basket that we can present to anybody in the world, and we can bring about positive change. And that's what I'm working towards. So again, any help that anybody can give me with this, any DVDs you can send me to print, even if you can make a donation to the Crow House so I can buy more DVDs, everything helps, folks. This is the time, this is the year, and we need as much support as possible. So please get on board with this initiative and help us get this word out to people. And do something in your area. Do something, like hand out leaflets, put flyers on shop counters, do something, folks, but get the word out to people, because this is the year that we can make a difference, but it's only going to happen if we step up and do it. Well, that is it for me for the show today, folks. It's been a pleasure talking to you again today. I hope the show hasn't been too intense for you, but I do certainly see a certain amount of urgency in our situation and a certain amount of urgency in addressing our situation. And so that's what I am going to be dedicating this year to, folks. It's going to be a year of action for me, and I hope that other people feel the same, and it will be a year of action for them as well. But that is it for me for the day. We're completely out of time. It has been a pleasure talking to you again. Thank you for joining me for the show today. And I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In La Cache.